Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They talk about GOT like nobody else. Whenever they're talking Thrones, we are overwhelmed. The fact that King's Rob and Josh are back seven hells. Game of Thrones, like Stannis, they're doing this one. Like it has been 20,000 years since Game of Thrones ended. It has only been 3 years from the start.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. Rob and Josh are back to talk about House of the Dragon, Season 1, Episode 10, The Black Queen, the season finale. Of course, I am Josh Wickler. I am joined here by Rob Sesternino. Rob, it's all done. It's over.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it? All right, well, it won't be that long before we get to see what happens now.
It's going to be a minute before we see what happens next, but we did see what happened before what happens next. We got a lot to talk about. Of course, this is your third House of the Dragon podcast on post-show recaps this week, breaking down the finale. We hope that the wait to hear what we have to say hasn't been too long, and certainly we hope the wait was worth it. And to make it worth your while, I've been asking for this all season. Every single time we've gotten on a podcast together, Rob, I said, I know Nicole's watching House of the Dragon. Can we get Nicole on the podcast, please, to talk about House of the Dragon? Ladies and gentlemen, we have Nicole on the podcast to talk about House of the Dragon.
Hello, I'm so excited.
Nicole, I'm so thrilled that you are here.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
You've been enjoying House of the Dragon all season long.
I think I'm borderline obsessed.
Nicole is the serious House of the Dragon person yes. at this house.
Yeah, I tell him all the time when he gets off the podcast. I'm like, oh, you got it wrong. You got it yeah. wrong.
Yes.
So what does it mean to be like seriously obsessed with House of the Dragon in your home right now?
So I have actually gone back and I'm listening to the audiobook of what is it?
No spoilers. Ooh. This is a spoiler-free podcast.
No, I just got up to like the current part of the
yeah.
book.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I think that it so if people are bored between now and the return of House of the Dragon, and if you are also if you've gotten really into the show and you want to find a way to get yourself engaged in Game of Thrones in like the time between now and like 2027 when the show returns, I do feel like the Fire and Blood audiobook is a really good pull, Nicole, because I think like those first however many pages you've done, that's all background stuff. And it's like going to make things like, I don't know if it's going to make Eric and Eric make any more sense, but like some of the history is definitely going to make a lot more sense if you're going and you're listening to all of that.
For sure. And I've been listening to all of the post-show recap podcasts. Wow. And I get really upset when the book club is like, okay, now time for spoilers. I'm like, I'm gonna turn it off now. Like, I don't want to turn it off.
But they've been doing a lot of the non-spoiler stuff, which has been very appreciated. I know a lot of people have been listening to the book club and going right up to the spoiler line. So that's been fun. That's been exciting. I love that you're listening to all the podcasts. Were you huge on Game of Thrones too, Nicole?
I was. Yeah. I watched it with Rob. And then when you guys did your, rewatch and podcast with that, I did it too, along with you guys.
Yeah. Are you so back into it that you're thinking about doing a Game of Thrones rewatch, or is it still way too soon?
I was thinking about it, but then when I think about Daenerys going to, really
Marine
season,
yeah.
I'm like, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah.
I guess you could skip those parts, right?
I guess, probably, but maybe it'll make more sense now.
I do think like the benefit of doing the Game of Thrones rewatch now is like, you know which episodes you could for sure skip.
Sure.
I would 2X it. probably. You know, I would go through it. I would go through it pretty quick.
Well, can I just say, I do think as we are here at the end of season one of House of the Dragon, like I do think that this was like the ultimate success story where we, I think we came into this season feeling like, okay, you know, can this show reclaim the reputation of Game of Thrones, where that Game of Thrones was down and out. It was a property in distress, not to all, but certainly to some.
Yeah, where, the general masses, at least, for sure.
And I think House of the Dragon has done incredible PR on the Game of Thrones IP, where that the first thing you think of isn't like, oh my god, Game of Thrones, like they really screwed the pooch.
Do we think House of the Dragon is like the greatest publicist that Game of Thrones could have ever hired?
Was Instagram really a thing when Game of Thrones came on? Because I feel like now we're really interacting with
it came on, you know, I think it existed, but I think like, certainly when
Where's Instagram's first year?
I don't think it really blew up. But I don't think it was like a, you know, a ubiquitous in 2011 when Game of Thrones premiered, but certainly by the end of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. You came into House of the Dragon with like a broken heart, like this really bad breakup with Game of Thrones. And you didn't want to give, you know, love another chance.
And that's how I'm going to be at the end of this, too.
Probably.
Well, I won't. I go in everything with a positive attitude.
You'll be ready to go.
You're fine.
I was excited but nervous because I've read the whole Fire and Blood book, and so I know what the Dance of the Dragons entails, and I was really curious to see how they were going to adapt it for the show. I don't know that I would have guessed that they would have spent so much time on season one. Kind of ends up feeling like this really big prologue. I think by the end of this final episode that we all watched, you get a sense of like what the show might look like going forward. And it's pretty terrifying to consider. And I really think that the way in which they paced out this first season, I know it wasn't for everyone, but I really did enjoy the way that they told the story. But even coming into it feeling pretty excited, I was definitely nervous. I was a big part of it was, you know, is anyone going to care? Like, does anyone care? I had a lot of conversations between, you know, the early going of the preseason to even like the first week of the show, with some people being like, I don't think I'm going to watch it. I don't think anyone's going to watch it. The reports that I'm seeing right now are that the finale is it the highest performing HBO finale of all time? It's up there for sure. I mean, the numbers for House of the Dragon.
I mean, are we taking the original Game of Thrones out of the equation?
Let's see. Variety says, okay, so episode 10 sees 9.3 million viewers, biggest HBO season finale since Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
In a number of years. So, Nicole, was it ever a question that you were going to watch this, or you were ready to get your heart broken again?
I think I was ready. My heart didn't really break like Rob's did. I go into these things with, you know, it is what it is. I'm not a writer. I don't know what they should be doing. And I just take it as it is.
But Rob, when do you have a moment where you feel like you were either either you or like the royal you out there were won over by the show? Was it? I know for us, it wasn't necessarily super quickly, but I feel like you get to the end of this last episode, and if you've been along for the ride at this point, I think at the very least you're hooked in for season two.
Yeah, I think it was probably like four or five episodes in that I felt like, okay, like this feels like Game of Thrones is back. I feel like that Nicole, for a lot of things, like we'll have like a shorter. There's other things she will never forget and brings up constantly. But I am much more of like, oh, not this again, not this again. This is that thing where I. And so,
are you talking about the show or our relationship?
Oh, I'm talking about that. I would like I see this pattern before. Like my pattern recognition steps in. Like we're
That's
not
why you
doing
always
this.
Wear those great patterned shirts.
Yeah, yeah. So
He always remembers the bad.
Yeah. I've experienced this with Rob for sure.
I'm sure. So
I get it. I get it. I definitely do.
It's a self-defense mechanism.
He needs some pep talks.
We're all coping. You know, it's hard out here, truly. And so if you're dedicating however many hours of your life to television, you want it to be as easy as humanly possible. Or if it's going to be hard, at least let it be entertaining. I think that that's mostly what House of the Dragon has been. The numbers have borne out that people are really into it. Do we want to take bets here at the top? How long will it be before we see House of the Dragon again? Nicole, you seem to be the most optimistic of the three of us.
I don't know.
You think it'll be soon?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I can't wait 2 years.
Well, I think that we could do this in context of other shows, seasons. I think the fun one, House of the Dragon season 2 or Euphoria season 3.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I think we'll get House of the Dragon season 2 before Euphoria season 3 is my maybe hot take.
Okay. I think I agree with you there. What about Succession season 5?
We'll get House of the Dragon season 2 before Succession season 5. Yes. Very exciting that season 4 of Succession on Sunday night, they said spring 2023. That's sooner than I would have expected. Is the Cesternino household a Succession household?
Yes, very much so.
You enjoy the Roys?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Monster people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's worse,
us or them.
The Roys or the Targaryens? Yeah. Well, all of us.
All of us.
Succession season 5 will come after House of the Dragon season 2. House of the Dragon season 2 will come before Westworld season 5, because Westworld season 5 is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Sorry. It would have been renewed by now. I'm pretty negative about this. I don't think it's coming. I don't think we'll get it until 2024. I really don't. I don't see the world where it's a year away. They are going to be entering production.
Well, that's your year.
I know. Yeah, I think we'll see House of the Dragon before we see Jack Bauer. But I think it's possible we could see Kiefer Sutherland as a Targaryen at some point in time.
I thought that we might be able to get you to watch Big Brother 24, that it was like a spinoff of, but no.
Has that one happened yet? It did,
yeah,
right?
It just happened.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
It just happened.
Wasn't there a Kiefer on a Big Brother? That would have been another draw. That was a Canada version, right?
Yeah.
I pay some attention. I pay attention to the gossip. So I think House of the Dragon is going to start production in a couple of months. Early 2023 is the word on the street. And I think it took a little more than a year to make season 1 of the show. But there was a lot of like pre-production that had to happen, like create sets, whole cloth. A lot of that work is done here for season 2. You can imagine, based on where we left off, Jace is going north and they're evoking Winterfell again and stuff like that, that maybe some locations need to be rebuilt or revisited. So there's definitely still some of that work that needs to be done. But it could be a little bit of a shorter wait than the 14 or so months, 16 months that it took to make season 1. I still don't think we're getting until spring or summer 2024 would be my guess for House of the Dragon.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Can you wait that long?
No, I'm going to need something else in the meantime.
The book will take a long time to read. So
yeah,
I spend a lot of time in kids pick up carpool lines. So I'm actually speeding through this thing pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
Josh, are there any other Game of Thrones series in the pipeline that are coming before House of the Dragon season 2?
Do we want to go over the list? I mean, there's a bunch that are still allegedly in the mix. I love that our podcast so far is like, this is sort of group therapy. I do think that we all kind of need this, because the show just ended. And the show, Nicole, did this feel like a finale to you, or did this feel like the first episode of a season? Didn't these last two episodes more feel like, okay, Viserys died, that's the finale cliffhanger, and now it feels like we're starting something only for it to end? I think that's part of the frustration with the show being over right now.
Yeah, I feel like, it just started. It is on now.
Yeah. That's the big vibe that I have right now, even knowing a lot of what comes next. Like, but no, you're in the show now. Show me what happens. I feel like there's probably a lot of that that's going on at the moment. So I think exercising some of this pain right now is helpful for me at the very least, if not for all of you out there.
Yeah, we need each other.
We need each other now more than ever. Now more than ever. I don't know why I'm Jennifer Coolidge-ing. The Jon Snow show.
He's a watcher. Yeah.
Is in the works.
Watcher. That's going to be cool.
The Watcher on the Wall. Are you excited for the Jon Snow show, Nicole?
I am, yeah.
Yeah. Rob, have you come around to it?
I got to see what it is. I got to see.
Okay, negative Nancy.
Look.
We're watching it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm sure we're watching.
And you're
we'll probably
go
talk
in with
about
a better
it.
Attitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like, you know what? You know what they
mean? Life at the Wall.
Life. No, he left, right? He went back to the wall and then he
went
like,
beyond the wall, right?
And then he moved to the other side of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He went further north. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That guy loves a cold climate.
He's Jon Snow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's got to be unfinished White Walker business. That show has to be about it. The show has to be. The show has to be about like, okay, we get it. We did bad. That wasn't it. We'll do the White Walker thing again. And everyone's going to be really annoyed about it. And then the show will happen. And everyone's like, wow, that was surprisingly good. I think that's how that story's going to go.
You know, Josh, that Nicole has so many interesting takes, I think, about the finale that I really like.
I do.
Yeah. Well, Nicole,
you have to remind me.
Well, let me tell you that my experience of watching it with Nicole.
You two watched it on Sunday night.
Yeah, we watched it on Sunday nights. Okay. Now, first off, that and I may have said during the birthing scene, oh my God, we're gonna have another baby on this show.
I did get a text from an unnamed colleague on this very network. Mm-hmm. The text was literally, seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Another?
Yeah. Yeah. And Nicole was angry.
I have very strong opinions.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, finish what you were going to say.
No, I was just saying that. I said, boy, I think that like 30% of the show might have been childbirth scenes.
Yeah.
Well, it's important.
Yeah.
It's important to the show and it's important in life. I think that we need to see more childbirth scenes. I love it.
Nicole said they didn't show enough of the childbirth.
Everyone's like, oh, it was so graphic. I have seen. Probably...
For the people who do not know, Nicole, you are a real life maester of the Citadel.
Mm-hmm. I'm the Grand Maester.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Archmaester Nicole.
Archmaester, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen a lot of births.
Do you have a ballpark figure?
Oof.
Hundreds?
I would say, more than, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I've seen a lot.
Yeah.
I've seen, I mean, I was a NICU nurse for 15 years. It's a lot of births.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of stuff. And you know what? They could have showed a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
They
that's what I'm saying.
A lot more. So for everybody that's grossed out, stop it. This is natural. This is life. I mean, didn't you guys watch The Miracle of Life in like seventh grade?
Oh, yeah, but I don't remember.
I feel like I watched it on HBO in the last couple of weeks.
You didn't, because it wasn't even that bad. Mm-hmm. Stop. I mean, there was one sound effect. I was like, ooh, that was not.
That was realistic.
No, that wasn't.
Oh, okay. They turned it up.
That was
the Foley guy never had a baby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Foley guy hasn't had that experience. But it's obviously been like a big talking point throughout the season that a lot of different people with a lot of different opinions on it. Some people who are either grossed out by it, other people who are like, this is unnecessary and it's like exploitative. And then I do think I've heard not just this take from you, Nicole, but I've heard from a few other people whose opinions really matter to me quite a bit, who are like, no, you know, this is worth showing. And even if some of it was overly graphic, at least the attempt at something a little more realistic than like the rose colored glasses of like Phoebe giving easy birth to twins on Friends or whatever. Like this is worth the attempt, even if it's not perfect. Yeah.
That's not childbirth. Like that's not what it's like. And I think that it's really important to show what it really is. And it made me kind of angry hearing some of the feedback that I saw like on Twitter and whatnot, that like if this is unnecessary. It is necessary because this is what happens. And especially like they don't have the child, not the child, the health care. Like they don't have, women died all the time. And even in like the book, like women died during childbirth and it still happens. And this is traumatic and it might be you know, you don't want to see, you know, a dead baby, but neither do the women that actually go through this. And by saying this is not necessary for us to see, you're silencing people that go through this process, not this process, but this experience, that have also been traumatized. And now you're telling them you don't want to hear it.
Right.
So they're getting smaller. And by doing this on TV, it's really bringing awareness to this is real. It always was real. And it always, unfortunately, will be real. Yeah. And I think that they did a really, really good job of showing that. And Emma Darcy was amazing.
This scene was really, really tough. It was just excruciating to watch. I thought that their performance in this episode was remarkable in a lot of different occasions. Like the way in which Rhaenyra has to hold so much together in the face of so much adversity. Like, to count all of the ways that Rhaenyra is going through it in this episode is a really exhausting exercise. She finds out that her dad is dead.
Mm-hmm.
She finds out that the thing that she's been trained for her entire life, and like her entire life has been molded around and like broken around. All of her choices have been removed because of this thing, has been stolen from her. And then she goes into like a very early labor that goes very poorly. Then she loses another child on top of it. It's tough. It's a horrible, horrible episode for Rhaenyra.
And not to mention Daemon not being a great husband or uncle.
No, bad. God. Yeah, bad at both jobs. Bad at both jobs here.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate the point, Nicole. I think there's been just so much talk about it, and I don't know how much more we're going to get out of it in the show moving forward. I think one of the things is that the time jumpiness of the show seems to be mostly done. I think Ryan Condal, the showrunner of House of the Dragons, like, yeah, we're done with the time jumps. Here we are. We're locked in. These are the actors. These are the characters. We'll add more, but the actors are who they are now. So I don't know, now that we're in war, how much more time we're going to be spending in the realm of, like, you know, childbirth and bringing new people into the world in this way. But I think very clearly for the theme of the first season, at least the creators felt it was really important to focus on this, as far as, you know, Rhaenyra and Alicent being two of like the really central characters to this show, and the ways in which they were used by the society around them, and now what happens next, that they are in these positions of, you know, seemingly positions of more control over, you know, this war that we're about to get into.
You mentioned about how, you know, we saw Rhaenyra then lose another child in this episode in Luke. And as I watched the episode with Nicole, Nicole was in tears by the end of the episode.
Yeah, talk me through losing poor Luke in this episode. Luke goes on dragon back. It's like, I can do it, Storm's End. It's just 15 minutes down the road.
What a sweet little boy. He's just a little boy who loves his mom, gets on his dragon to his little tiny dragon. It's like a little puppy. And he just wants to help his mom. And that little, the real bastard, Aemond.
My favorite. I love him. I love Aemond.
I do too, in a way, but not
so
anymore.
He's so naughty.
He's so like badass that it's kind of hot.
Oh my god. He's a teenager. Like, are you a Targaryen?
Just kidding, not really.
I think the actor is an adult, so we're all right. We're fine.
So that I'm covered.
Yeah, yeah. You're good. Mm. You're good.
Yeah.
But no, I think that there is like he takes the eye patch off. He's got the sapphire eye. Should I have gone for one of those when I had the chance during LASIK? Did I screw up? Should I have said, doctor, I need one of those?
You
sapphire
messed up, Josh. Yeah, you made the wrong decision.
Yeah. Really does glow. Back. Like, it's almost like somebody's shining a light into it.
I think it was just the, it's just like that icy blue.
Targaryen magic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess so.
I think it's literally just a rock that they put in his head.
Yeah. So it looks like, you know, had a good
probably
reflection,
like, you could
I guess.
Just have the eye patch on. He's like, no, I need a diamond. Mm-hmm.
I need some bling.
Yeah.
But he needs some bling.
Nicole was upset. Why did they have to cast such a cute kid to be Luke if they were going to kill him?
Is that what I said?
Yeah, I thought so.
I mean, he was just the cutest little thing. And I have some, you know, strong brown-haired boys too.
What do you mean
home. Strong?
Capital S strong or lowercase s strong?
Anyway.
Uh-huh. Strong Island.
It's Strong Island. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yes.
It hit me. It hit it hit the mother in me watching, you know, that little boy get eaten by a dragon or
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did he get eaten or did he fall to the ground?
Oh, he got eaten, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he got
eaten. That poor baby.
I think that they did it. You know, this is like very important stuff for the narrative of where we're going forward into the show, that Luke dies and what comes after that. I think, you know, Rhaenyra's final look in the episode is pretty telling of what that might mean. This was interesting to me. So I got the chance to interview the director of the episode for Vanity Fair, one of my final assignments on the VF watch here for House of the Dragon. The director, Greg Yataines, is a really fun person to interview. He was saying that originally the part of Luke was written younger, going to be a younger person playing Luke. But this actor, Elliot Greehalt, I may be wildly mispronouncing his last name, he came in and he just did such a great job in the audition. So they went with someone who was a little bit older than this may have actually ended up being. I think that is ultimately a great decision because I can't even imagine if this was a younger kid in this role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was perfect casting.
Yeah, he was very good. But I think like that's when, you know, Game of Thrones was really good too, and House of the Dragon is doing this as well. Even like if you didn't love Viserys all season long, like you can't help but feel like Patty Considine is just so interesting as the character that they get these actors who are just so compelling, and then they leave, you know, in a couple of episodes, one season, and I think that you could have imagined Luke having a really big full arc. And I think part of the tragedy with him is he's a couple of episodes ago, he's telling, you know, Grandpa Sea Snake, he's like, I don't want to be Lord of Driftmark. If I'm Lord of Driftmark, that means all of you are dead. And the Sea Snake at that time should have like clasped him on the shoulder, like, you should be worried about yourself.
Yeah, but he didn't have the spoilers.
No, he didn't have the script ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
If he'd had the spoilers, maybe he would have stopped going to the Stepstones all the time.
Mm-hmm. No, he can't.
No, that ended up working out. It seems like it's like, oh, we control the Stepstones now. And I've heard there will be no more time jumps. So the Triarchy won't have time to research.
Good.
That'll be
Nicole said she wants a time jump to when season 2 comes out.
Please, fast forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't want to take our eye off the prize of what's happening IRL, though. If we're not here during the time jump in real life, who knows what happens between now and the return of House of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like one of those Twilight Zone episodes that you're waking up into the pigs have inherited the earth. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
It is. Yeah.
The pig dragon.
Did they have an episode like that?
I don't know. I think the pigs were like in the, wasn't there like the models, the mimes
there
that
was
came
a,
to life?
I don't know. There was a
I'm
lot of
I'm conflating in my mind. There's a pig
people.
Episode. There's the models that come to life. And then I'm also thinking about, of course, the dude whose glasses break because I always think about him.
Mm-hmm.
He had all the books.
I don't think that had any pig people.
No, I don't think so either. So the final scene of the whole season, or I guess like the second to last scene of the whole season, is this huge dragon battle, and we've been waiting all season long to see dragons fighting dragons. It's sort of the promise of the show, and I think that this was almost, for me, Rob, it felt kind of proof of concept, because you imagine moving forward into the future of the show, this is going to be important to see more of. You're going to have to see dragons fighting dragons. Did it work for you? Were you exhilarated? Were you nervous? I know you're never nervous watching TV.
Well, I mean, it was nerve-wracking to have, you know, that climactic battle taking place, like in the bad weather in Storm's End. And I think that's just like that one shot where there's sort of like the lightning flash and you can make out, you know, the, you know, giant dragon, yeah, like silhouette overhead. In the sky.
That was a wicked shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was messed up. That was scary. At that point, you're like, oh, this is not going to go good. This is
Vhagar's
gonna be
bad. Beast.
Yes. Yes. I really liked, I think that there really is this Jurassic Park feel to when Luke shows up to Storm's End and he looks up and the lightning flashes and Vhagar's parked in like the VIP parking lot.
He should have left right away.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
You know, he wanted to, but he's like, no, I gotta do it for my mom.
That's it. And that's really,
I have to deliver a message.
And that's really sad, right? Because there's a world where, you know, at the start of this show that, you know, Rhaenyra kept feeling like she was being bounced around by people in bigger positions of power than she was. And she just like kind of had to go through these motions. And now her kid is like kind of doing the same thing. Like, you wonder if he just like said to her, like, I don't want to go, maybe Rhaenyra would be like, then don't go. But the expectations that have passed down, like all of that, and like the pressure of this situation that has passed down to this generation, and now these are the ones who are suffering the consequences, that's awful. So I thought that was really effective, that it ends up being one of her kids that is lost in service of like the sins of their grandfather, I guess, you know, coming to bear. But when he goes inside and he gets, you know, very clear information that this trip to Storm's End isn't going to work out. And then he comes outside after Aemon says, cut your eye out. Any one of them, do it.
Mm-hmm.
What a psycho.
He's definitely not psycho. But Luke comes out and then the lightning flashes again and Vhagar is gone. That was so effective to me. That was like, I was talking on the VF podcast with my co-host, Richard. He was like, that's the moment where Lexi's like, where's the goat? Where's the goat? When the T-Rex is out of the paddock. I'm like, oh, God. Like, you know, the T-Rex is coming for the, like, the T-Rex hasn't been in the movie yet, really. And now you know that the T-Rex scene is coming. You know, finally, like, okay, a dragon hunting scene is here and it's going to be pretty frightening.
I didn't even know the dragons could bite each other.
What you thought that they had, like,
you think they were hug?
Yeah, there were rules against this.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't think that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, surprise, to see, you know, dragons turning on each other. I thought they liked each other.
Yeah. I mean, I bet some of these dragons are real divas.
I bet Vhagar is a real diva. Like, you,
he's old. He's cranky.
Is it a girl or is it a boy?
It's a girl. She's been around for so long.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry.
She's been around for a minute. So I think that she probably is sort of like the, I don't know. She's been around the house of the dragon since before they even had a house.
Mm-hmm. And don't they also, they pick up on their rider's energy. So
right.
Aegon is a psycho. So then like Vhagar becomes the psycho, right?
Yes.
Luke is super sweet. Or like,
is it vice versa? Was Vhagar more of a psycho and Aegon,
Aemond.
Aemond.
Oh, did I say Aegon?
It's fine. You know what? If they're gonna name everybody super similar, like, we're gonna screw it up. Okay,
we'll get it for the finale. This series
of next year. Yeah.
Yes. But I think this was a big surprise to me and Nicole. I'm sure you're experiencing this with the book right now. Of like, they tell you one thing, but the show is doing something else because the book is this like. This unreliable history book. So
yes.
there's a lot of room for them to make choices on the show that are going to be surprising. And this was one of them where in the book's version of Aemond coming after Luke, there's a few questions about how did this happen? Like, how vicious was it? There's like some pretty vivid descriptions of what may have happened. But there's nothing in the book about, well, Aemond didn't mean to do it. You know, this was an accident. This is not something Aemond wanted. All of the versions in the book are like, Aemond was very proud of himself, and he wanted to track his nephew down and kill his nephew. And the show takes it in this other direction where Vhagar is just like, sorry, kid, you don't get to tell me what to do. I've hated this dragon for so long. You have no idea.
I have very big feelings about like the book and the show and how people get pretty angry that the book and the show don't really match, but it's not really written as fact, and there's like a lot of mansplaining in this book.
Whoa!
So
totally, yeah.
I don't think a lot of what they're saying, and the maesters are a little sexist. Come on now, like they're talking about these women from their perspective. Come on.
Yeah, no, I think the way that they talk about Rhaenyra and Alicent,
you don't know.
No, totally. And I think like even the sources that they're drawing on,
and they're biased.
They're all like all. If I'm remembering right, I think that everyone who gets sourced in, because it's being written by a maester from like the time of King Robert, I think Rob, not you, different King Bobby B.
Different King Rob.
King Rob. It's being written from the time of Bobby B, if I'm not mistaken. And the maester who's writing it is pulling from all of like the sources that they do have from that period of time. I think all of them are men. I'm pretty sure that every single person who has eyes on this period of history that are being drawn upon are all men. So, I think that does probably tell you a lot. And so one of the big changes from the book to the show was like this closeness between Rhaenyra and Alicent that doesn't exist in the book, but like they wouldn't know about that, you know, they certainly wouldn't give it any credit. And I think also like some of the ways in which they're so sharply described, Rhaenyra is like really sharply described. Alicent is very, very sharply described. Feels judgy Judgerson. Yeah. I think so. That's a great name for a dragon, by the way.
That's what I'm going to name my dragon.
Judgy Judgerson?
Actually, that should be your dragon, Rob.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like that would be more appropriate.
Meet Judgy Judgerson.
Dragon is judgy, though? In what way? Like,
well,
it picks
up on your energy.
Then what does it do? Like, flames people? That's not what I do.
You would flame them, but miss on purpose just to be like, heh.
That's what I do?
Yeah. I think you would have a dragon that would be more like Rhaenys's dragon, like screaming like a podcast.
You expect
fire, but instead you just get coming to your life.
Its bark
the
might be
pit.
Worse than its bite. Yeah.
And its wing dings the bell.
Sure. Exactly. Yes. God, I would love to see that. It would be fun to have a dragon, right? I think this episode probably bears out that it's probably pretty scary, Nicole.
I don't know. I think that I would do really well in this time.
What would the dragon's energy?
You're not doing great with a dog.
Oh no.
She's kind of a dud.
Yeah. Maybe. Do you think that maybe she picks up on your energy?
No, she picks up on the boy's energy. The strong
boys. So who's the dragon rider?
Not me.
Yeah. Do the boys need to go out and claim the biggest dog in the land? Is that the move? Is that the follow-up?
Pretty much. They like to claim every dog in the neighborhood.
I feel like I don't know. I definitely don't think I would do particularly well with the dragon. And I think it's okay that we could all admit that that's the case. It's fine. You know, to know yourself. This is life's great journey. So we're going to have a lot of dragon battles probably moving forward. The big question that I would love to get answered from the two of you was, did the scene work for you? And if this is something of the vibe of the show moving forward, where like this was something that the whole 10 episodes were building to, if you're getting like a good amount of this in season two, is that exciting to you? Or is that like, I don't know, I will miss the King's Landing politicking if this just suddenly becomes Dragon Battle show.
I don't know how it doesn't get old of just watching people fly around on dragons that are going to be biting each other. Like, I think that for the show to be interesting and remain compelling, that I think that you need much more human drama, which might culminate in, you know, a battle on the dragons. But I just feel like that, you know, like the dragons are so powerful, I kind of feel like that it's going to be a challenge of the show to not have it just be a dragon comes in, just like sets everything on fire, and then, you know, flies away.
Yeah.
I agree with that, Your Grace.
Oh, thank you.
Ooh, Your Grace. I think that the show, though, Game of Thrones had 8 seasons with dragons, and this season has had 1 season with dragons, and I think that the show has already delivered a couple of my very favorite dragon scenes across the whole thing. So if anyone's going to do it, I feel good about this team figuring it out. But we'll see. I think mm-hmm. it's, show me like a big dragon battle during the daytime, and then we'll be talking. Like, can you do that? Can you pull that off? You can't hide behind dark and stormy clouds. Got to show me full dragon. We'll see how that see how that goes. Nicole, I need to ask Nicole about Daemon Targaryen.
Okay.
And any takes that you have on Daemon. This was not a particularly flattering episode for Daemon Targaryen.
Oh, again.
Yeah, what's his problem?
Big feelings on Daemon.
Yeah.
So in
what kind of feelings?
In the beginning,
what
I hated
that noise?
It was like,
what do you mean,
like a
French chef?
Yeah.
Sometimes just things, noises just come from me. And I don't know where they come from. I hated Daemon in the beginning. I hated him. And then I've come around. I hated that haircut that he had when it was short.
When
he cut his hair?
Yeah.
It made me hate him more.
Do you think it was just a day where Matt Smith was like, please, one episode. I just don't want to put it on. I'll dye my hair, but I don't want to put it on. It's so itchy. It's
probably
so hot. It's so hot under there. You don't know the smells. The smells.
I bet that does smell pretty.
I can't imagine. It smells great.
Mm-hmm.
Give the man what he wants. If he wants his haircut, you cut it.
Yeah.
But then there was a point where I was like, oh, I'm kind of digging this guy. And then you know, I start rooting for him and Rhaenyra to do it. Like,
whoa,
what? How did this happen? This is not good.
Do we to keep checking ourselves, by the way, as like a community of people watching this show along the way, being like, I need to remember that I'm not okay with this.
Never forget.
This is all kinds of weird and ungood. But they get married and then you're like, okay, well, they're married and I just have to move along with the show.
And you root for them. Like, oh, that's such a great couple and
couple goals.
Yes. And then you are reminded again who he really is, you know, in this episode, you know, which I think it was important to show, like, this is who this guy is. Like, he's not really a good guy and we've been praising him. And
right,
he is who he is.
Like during the birthing scene, when she's like, Daemon,
and she wasn't calling for him.
What, she wasn't calling for
him?
I don't know. I don't remember if she was calling for him.
I don't think she called for him. She knew what she was dealing with.
He was definitely in earshot, no doubt. They make it pretty clear that where he is, he's like plotting war, and he's like, you know, one room over,
doing the opposite of what she wants him to do.
It's like you imagine like someone at that table is like, Daemon, you gonna, you know, go over? He's like, wait, what? Like, completely ignoring that it's happening.
Mm. I felt like he did have like you can kind of tell that like it was affecting him hearing her scream. So there's like some good qualities about him that come out and that like you kind of hold on to and you try to forget that he's just like this terrible person.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like it when he choked her.
No,
That was not good.
No, and it happened so fast too. Like she hits him with this information that she doesn't think is doing anything. She thinks because he was the heir to the Iron Throne for a very long time, and then Rhaenyra wasn't even literally the heir for a night when Viserys takes her downstairs to the skull of Balerion the dragon, and he's like, listen, so I'm going to fill you in on like a really important piece of plot and narrative that no one, even the people who've read all the books, know about. I'm going to tell you that tonight. And he tells her about the Song of Ice and Fire. And so Rhaenyra's like, well, Daemon's been heir. Well, he was heir for like, you know, a decade or whatever. He's got to know about this. And he knows like we can't just plunge the realm into war. What if the White Walkers show up? And he had no idea about any of that. And he has this horrific, knee-jerk, violent reaction to it. And I do think it was really, really telling. And I think his response to that in the moment, you know, I'm here to sing Viserys's praises when they are worth singing about. And I think in this moment, Viserys was right. It's like, okay, yeah, this guy wasn't worthy of this information, and I knew it all along. Look at how he's reacting the second that something hasn't broken his way. He's hitting Rhaenyra. So I do think it was really worth reminding us that this dude's bad news. You know, he's like, he's one of those like old school Targaryens that you hear about that just want to like set things on fire. And I think there's more complexity to him than that, where I think that maybe there's some element of like, maybe this was part of why he didn't want to come back to King's Landing when he and his wife were across the narrow sea. Mm-hmm. It's like, I should just be reading. If I'm reading, I'm not killing. And that's probably good. And like, maybe he knew, like, I come back here and I'm going to start killing people again. And it looks like that's maybe exactly what's starting to happen.
He was trying to change.
Yeah. He's like, I think I should just be living like that bathrobe and pipe life, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I should just be one of those, like, I should be like, what is he, Ted Wheeler from Stranger Things. You know, I should just be on, like, the lazy boy reading and not getting involved with the Demogorgons.
Yeah, he really didn't like hearing about the prophecies.
He doesn't like this. He's like, dreams didn't make us kings, dragons made us kings.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's possible, Nicole, that Daemon just doesn't dream? And he's, like, jealous of people who can?
So he just goes to bed and
it's a void.
It's just blackness.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nicole has a lot of dreams.
I have very vivid
dreams. Nicole has dragon dreams, Josh.
Do you predict the future in your dreams?
I have had some crazy, that could be an off podcast conversation.
You and Emily should talk. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have scary dreams all the time.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Do you dream, Rob?
I do dream, but I feel like I feel like the dreams are pretty non-eventful. I feel like I do not have prophecy.
Yeah.
Rob has his dreams where I don't know. I feel like he's fighting somebody in his dreams.
Oh, I do? Oh my God.
He's like,
am I on the dragon?
Convulsing sometimes, moving so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I have to like elbow him in the chest.
Wow.
Is that nice? Is that what you're supposed to do?
That's what
in
I
your
read.
Your medical opinion?
That's what I read.
Yeah. It's like maybe you're having like very, I don't know. Are you like playing sports or something in your dream?
Doubt it. Yeah. watching sports, maybe.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could be pretty active too, I'm to understand. So Daemon and Rhaenyra are not exactly on the same page in this episode. I do think a helpful reminder that Daemon's not the greatest. This is something that the writers have been talking about a lot too, is like, I think Sarah Hess, who's the executive producer of the show, and she may as well, and I hope that she gets the show, like the co-showrunner nod at some point in the future. It sounds like, according to Ryan Condal, who's the showrunner, that like the two of them are responsible for most of the story together. And she gave this interview to The Hollywood Reporter a few weeks ago about how it's ridiculous that Daemon Targaryen has become the internet's boyfriend when he has behaved the way that he has. Where, like,
your new problematic phase.
He killed his wife. And like people are like gaga over him. And like it's cool to be like enthralled by him, right? Like, you know, he's a compelling character. And that's
everybody
great.
Loves the bad boy.
You know, and like that's a fun character to have on the show and like an interesting person to unpack, which is like, but like, you want to marry this guy? She got a lot of like vitriolic hate that was pretty, pretty terrible. But I think like Ryan Condal in his interview rounds is basically being like, yeah, what did you expect? This guy murdered his wife with a rock 5 episodes ago. This is the guy. This is who you've been watching this whole time. So we'll see what that turns into in the next season. Some stuff that's not in this episode, but I'd love to just like sort of lay of the land as maybe we're shifting focus ahead towards season 2 a tiny bit, is the Hightowers and the fact that Aegon is now on the throne and Otto shows up here and says, every single symbol of legitimacy is ours. You have stale oaths. We have, which sounds like a gross cereal, by the way. We've got the throne. We've got the conqueror's name, his sword, his crown. What do you have? How much of a hate are you two getting into the Hightowers at this point in time? The show wants you to pick a side. Are you able to see a pathway towards being Team Green? Either
no,
of you?
There's no nobody's no. Team Green.
No, there are psychos that are Team Green.
What kind of psychos?
We have a lot of people out there, I think, who are Team Green.
Really? Right? I mean, mm-hmm. I thought, and again, earlier in the season when we talked to Bryce, like I thought there was a case that you could make for Team Green. But yeah. Since the time jump, there's no case.
Mm-hmm.
What? Sell it to me.
I think Allison has shown some redeeming qualities
when she was young. Yeah.
No, I think that there was a point, you know, when she's like, show me, you know, when Rhaenyra had the baby, show me, bring the baby to me. Like right. That was like a really disgusting Allison that we saw. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of, I think from the dinner that they have together, she kind of, you know, show some humanity, some heart, and like
she
that she's
says
not
Rhaenyra
completely
to be queen.
Evil.
But then she changes her mind.
But then she doesn't want to kill Rhaenyra either. So I think that there are some mm-hmm. redeeming qualities in Alicent that shows that she's not this really 100% horrible person. But
that's the case. She's not 100% a horrible person.
I'm just saying that like she's not as bad as she was. So you kind of start to feel mm-hmm. for her. Where she's like, where it's not as bad, but
I mean,
she's not...
I didn't forget when she was like, bring me a kid's eye.
Right.
You think I wouldn't have said that if somebody.
No, Nicole would have. And that's why people shouldn't stan you.
Mm-hmm. I'll take both your eyes.
Oh my God.
Maybe a nose too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, the sapphire nose isn't quite a look, I don't think. I don't think you could replace your nose with like a stone in the same way you could replace your eyes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We could try, but
well, if you poke my kid's eye out, that's what you're gonna get.
All right, mm-hmm. I will make a mental note to not poke your kid's eyes out.
Yeah, but I didn't know that there were people that were on Team Green.
Yeah, I think that there are. I think that people still really feel bad for the situation that Alicent has been thrust into, even as like Alicent now has more agency over the situation to a certain degree. Like there is a world where Viserys said what he said on his deathbed, and if Alicent does authentically feel like, well, my son is a terrible piece of trash,
right?
Maybe I should just ignore the rantings and ravings of this old man. So maybe, you know, she could have just forgotten that, but she didn't. And, you know, things has happened really, really quickly around everything moving forward from there. So what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. But I think I think people like Helena, I think the dreamer. I think
fine.
People
fine.
I don't really think she's Team Green, though. She's like her own team.
Yeah, she is. She seems like she's like she knows
what's up.
She's like Team Green in the way that Sandra would be Team Green, like bench warming, not participating in the challenges.
As long as it's not me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe with a little bit less of like the act of as long as it's not me. but like she doesn't want to participate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
can she get loud too?
She can.
WTF?
I don't know. It right now, I will say, I think that the show has made it kind of hard to feel like the show has really made a pretty concerted effort to be like, you're in Rhaenyra's story. I do think. And so I think it's hard, especially with the finale and Luke dying. I think it's really hard to walk away and not be like, whatever Rhaenyra does next is justified. You know, like that little bastard killed her child. Like whoever dies as a result of this, I mean, Rhaenyra was right. We'll see how far they could push that. But like for right now, I think you leave season one being like,
yeah,
I get Rhaenyra's fury. For
sure. I mean, I really feel like that in the first half of the season, that was much more open for interpretation of, you know, Rhaenyra was doing some things that definitely you could take issue with and things that we debated on this podcast. But I just feel like that since the time jump, I feel like the show is very much in favor of, you know, seeing things from Rhaenyra's perspective. And it's, I think, very hard to argue that, you know, Alicent is, you know, a protagonist in this story.
Yeah. Nicole, any strong takes on Kristen Cole?
So in the beginning, I was like, yay. Kristen Cole, like he's hot, and I kind of wanted, you know, him and Rhaenyra to kind of whatever with that to work out. I thought that was fun, and then I defended him when he
look at you now
killed Joffrey, and I was like, well, that guy was asking for it. Like, why? Well, open your mouth, you get burned, and then. He turned into the worst person in the world.
Yeah.
He's awful.
He's bad. Mm-hmm.
And I hate his guts.
Yeah. I didn't mind having a break from him in this episode. I was like, okay, I'm glad no Kristen Cole.
Mm-hmm. For a second, I thought,
was he there? Was he part of the Kingsguard that showed up on Dragonstone? I don't think so. There was one knight that they were focusing on, but Rob, I think that was actually Eric. They brought Eric to Dragonstone with Otto's retinue because Eric was also already on Dragonstone with Rhaenyra. So they wanted, if Eric was going to be there, they wanted to make sure Eric was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't mind if him and Allison did get together though.
Eric and Allison?
That. No. Kristen Cole and Allison.
I think that's what he wants, right?
Yeah, that's. I mean, at least that'd be something.
He's probably at this point. It's like, I broke my vows already. What's the difference?
Yeah. I mean, and in fairness to Allison, I mean, after 30 years of being married to Viserys,
to the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, I mean, get the, like. She should have, there's something.
I don't know. Kristen Cole, he had sex with Rhaenyra one time.
Mm-hmm.
One time.
Oh,
and can't let it go.
No, he's a simp.
Can't let it go. One time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Therapy, you know. Mm-hmm. Kristen Cole needs to listen to my Talkspace ad. Mm-hmm. Get the promo code.
Yeah, he really does.
1 month off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see where we're going with Kristen Cole moving forward. Speaking of the Crypt Keeper, Nicole, do you think that we are going to miss Viserys from the show? I feel like we now have two episodes, no Viserys Targaryen.
Do you care about him?
He is dead.
I think what they did really well with him was that when he was there, we didn't quite appreciate him. And now that he's gone, we miss him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he wasn't all that bad. Like, he tried to be peaceful, and he, you know, he's kind of a people pleaser, but he was trying to protect the realm. From...
Why did he eat the chicken like that?
Do you see the way you eat sometimes?
Well, not like a maniac. Mm.
He was just housing chicken.
I don't know. I come from the Palmieri family, and that's how they eat. So that does not do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in no position to judge anyone on just like housing their food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely how I go.
Mm-hmm. My family will eat, 4 pounds of chicken per person. Uh-huh. So I can't say anything.
That's like the way the Hound used to eat chicken. That I'll eat every effing chicken in this room.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I've heard that in the Palmieri house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else do we have? We have a couple of bits of feedback from folks. This was written to us by Mallory. This gets us into a scene we haven't talked about. Mallory said, I wanted to share my initial take on the ending of the episode, which turned out to be wrong, but might have been fun to see. When we see Daemon visit the dragon and start singing, I read it as some sort of dragon magic where he was controlling Aemon's dragon to kill Luke so that Rhaenyra would go to war. Dark and dramatic, sure, but I think it would track with Daemon's character and would have been fun to see some old Valyrian dragon magic involved. That is not what ended up happening, but I think an interesting initial read, at least. I think that the Daemon goes to a dragon and starts singing to the dragon scene is probably a very confusing scene for a bunch of people, would be my guess. Did you have any strong feelings, either of you, on Daemon's dragon lullaby?
I didn't quite know where it was going, but I thought it was a really cool idea for him to be doing that. It shows his boldness and his fearlessness. And I figured it was, all right, they're doing this for a reason. He's trying to wake up the dragon. This is going to affect the war in some way. They need all the dragons they can get. Who's riding this dragon? I don't know, but I'm eager to find out if that's where they're going. This dragon is huge. This is the which dragon is that?
So this is Vermithor.
That was the king's dragon, right?
It was Jaehaerys' dragon. Yeah, before Viserys. So he was employed for a long time. Jaehaerys was king for so long. I think he's like 9 years old when he becomes king or something like that, and he has Vermithor from the start. And then he's, you know, I think he's 69. When he dies. So a good 60-year run for this dragon, but now it's been what, 3 decades since he died? Yeah. And Vermithor has just been parked at Dragonstone.
He's getting his rest, conserving his energy.
Yeah, but in the dragons are like you know, an old car. You gotta like start them every once in a while, or then you know, you run into problems.
Is Have that why he sings before? To him?
Do you know this?
Yeah.
And I was thinking that the one daughter of Daemon's who doesn't have a dragon,
Rhaena.
Oh, is this going to go to her? And is that the one that was betrothed to Luke?
I wish I knew.
Oh, she's available now.
That I wish I knew off the top of my head. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, this can be interesting. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't know this as fact, but in my head, this is what I was thinking.
Yeah. No, I think it was I really liked the scene quite a bit, because like I liked that we got this moment where like Daemon and really Targaryens generally are almost, they talk about how like we're more like gods than men, but I almost think like you're all a bunch of aliens, you know, like you're from outer space, like you are like the aliens that have conquered Earth, and like we have no choice but to, you know, serve you, because we don't know what kind of flying
serve me
serve me. And so I don't know where that came from, but with Daemon, like it's like he can't relate to people. He can't like talk to people. He can talk to dragons. He's like, this is all I know anymore. So like, I think like he's probably like, I don't know if he has embarrassment in him. Like, I don't know if he's embarrassed at how he behaved with Rhaenyra. I think he's probably
think so.
Like, he's like,
he has no shame.
Though. He's upset. He's
not
like,
shaming.
He did. That'd be a good name. He did. He did love his brother. And then he finds out that his brother didn't trust him enough for like this like sacred thing. So like he just needs to go off on his own and talk to a dragon. And like, I don't know. I thought that was like a good look at like how the Targaryens can cope. Like, no one understands me like you, Vermithor. What song do you think he was singing? Do you have any idea on the lyrics?
I don't know, but I hope to hear it on my Spotify playlist soon.
Yes.
When I'm running.
Valerian.
Yeah. I mean, I'd run really fast.
Would you listen to Fire and Blood, the audiobook in High Valyrian, Nicole? Would you want to learn High Valyrian?
I won't deny that the thought has come to my brain. And
I
heard
they still have it on Duolingo.
You want to speak High Valyrian?
No. I did see that it was like trending though on like one of those like Babbel.
Yeah. I don't know if they still have it. Do they still teach High Valyrian lessons? Let's look that up real quick. Duolingo. The world's best way to learn High Valyrian.
The world's best way to
Learn High Valyrian in just 5 minutes a day for free. This is not an ad, by the way. Hashtag not an ad. So just if you want to do it, another way to pass the time between now and season.
Sure.
Oh, we should. Oh, and then we can have conversations with, and the boys won't know what we're talking about.
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that is compelling. Yeah.
They know how to read now, so we can't spell.
Oh, no. Yeah. Do they know pig Latin?
No.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know if Nicole knows it.
I know a few of these like stupid languages that you talk in like school.
Okay,
good. Me and my friends had a few of them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I have a secret language. It's called talking about life through the metaphor of television. No one else seems to understand.
You speak that fluently.
What I'm doing. This is from Costa, who had written in. Costa had two questions. One was, how did news of Luke's death get back to Dragonstone? It's not like there was anyone else around besides Aemon, or was it just assumed that he had died? I think that you get the sense that, like, Daemon knows, right? Like, Daemon knows that that Luke has died. Is there any headcanoning that we can do?
I feel like, everybody was at Storm's End, and everybody in the court is
they
like
talk.
A big gossip.
And I'm sure they saw Aemon running out.
They saw what happened. They saw that Luke left. They saw Luke was going home. That Luke never came back. Aemon departed. He said, "Give me your eye," and said no.
Or I'll kill you.
And then chased him. And so, like, I think that they kind of put the pieces together.
Yeah. Stacy had asked the same question. Stacy had said only one living person, Aemond, would have known. He'd have no reason to inform Rhaenyra or anybody else. Maybe Aemond did just like sneak over to Dragonstone real quick and just like leave a note at the door. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
It's possible.
Costa had also asked that he said that hearing from the Crypt Keeper has been a highlight of the season for me. And I was wondering if he had any thoughts about the finale. Did the Crypt Keeper write in with any reviews of the Black Queen?
Well, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
That there should have been more kids eaten. It's the highlight of the season.
Stop it. That's terrible.
Crypt Keeper.
That's what he likes. Oh. He's a sicko.
It's gross,
this
dude.
Crypt Keeper also sounds like Russell Hand.
I don't even like those little
strong boy,
little Beesberry.
Oh no!
It's the Houston Astros, baby.
How are they doing?
Good.
Ugh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Ugh. Anything else? Anything else from House of the Dragon season one, Nicole, that you wanted to get into? You enjoyed it.
I did. I enjoyed it probably more than I should have. And I'm very excited to see where it's going to go from, you know, listening to the audiobook, and then, you know, season two coming. So it gets me, you know, so excited. I go to bed and I'm like thinking about it. So I love it.
Is it Game of Thrones specific, or do you have like the fantasy show itch? AKA, are you going to do the Lord of the Rings?
No.
No.
No. I will not go that far.
A bridge too
mm-hmm.
far.
Mm-hmm. You took mm-hmm. it too far, Josh.
Emily liked Lord of the Rings for 4 episodes, and then I think got bored with it.
I think that one of the reasons why I can't watch it was one of the shows that was always on rotation at my parents' house.
Yeah.
And just by principle, like, I just can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob, did you ever end up watching more than
I never turned it on. You know,
sorry, I never ended up watching the first episode of The Offer.
That's fine. I'm not as opposed to it. We never even finished The Offer.
I think The Offer is really good.
Yeah, but we do need a new show.
Yeah. Well, we could work on that. We could talk offline. What shows are coming up that might be interesting to sink our teeth into? You could both catch up on everything that's happened on The Walking Dead in time for the series finale in a couple of weeks.
Oh,
that sounds fun.
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
Don't save yourself. Protect yourself. House of the Dragon. It is done for season one. Rob, what did we learn?
It is known.
What did we learn?
Yeah, I think what we learned is that Game of Thrones, much like the White Walkers, people thought it was dead, and now it has had a second life here.
Yeah, that you can't quite get rid of them that easily. You can just stick a dagger in it and be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it gives hope to other franchises that people may have soured on that didn't have like the greatest
Sauron
ending.
Is his name in Lord of the Rings.
Yes. And maybe this is going to be the impetus to get the Lost reboot going.
Don't you dare with me right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's too early in the day for this level of excitement.
Like, hey, if we can like breathe new life into a franchise that everybody hated the ending on, what else could we do?
Yeah, this may actually be one of the worst things that could have happened to Lost, is House of the Dragon being as successful as it was, because the narrative had been that Game of Thrones has the worst ending in pop culture, and now people are going to only think of House of the Dragon when it comes to Game of Thrones, and they're going to go back to Lost has the worst ending in pop culture. So I'm going to have to get back out there and maybe rewatch the whole show again with Mike. We'll see.
Yeah.
Don't tell Angela. Don't tell
Emily. Well, you do have time before House of the Dragon comes back.
Probably could fit in a whole Lost rewatch between now and then on a weekly basis. I do think so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it for now. Whether or not that's it for all of the House of the Dragon coverage, definitely not. We still have the Versus podcast coming out this week with me and LT talking about the 2 season 1 finales of Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon. We're going to compare the two of them side by side. Then we have a couple of other bonus treats coming your way on the other side. We have a few catch-up podcasts we want to do. We want to get a couple of different takes on the podcast as well. I think we're going to do some more book clubs. club stuff, because we want to talk about like a highly spoiler heavy season 2 preview, I think, is something that might be in the offing. So if you are a big book fan, that's something that we're thinking about. And I don't know if people want to hear more from me and Rob on House of the Dragon. I think I would be up for it, Rob, if you were down for it, if people wanted it.
Nicole, did you enjoy hearing me and Josh get to talk about television all season long?
I did, but every time that you would talk, I'm like, no, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you felt something. You felt alive listening to us.
It gave me, you know, some Dracarys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm wearing my Dracarys shirt, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wore this to my kid's birthday party, and I wanted people to
like,
to
this
see
is like
it.
Sort of like talk to me about House of the Dragon.
Or
right?
it was also screening the cool people. Like,
yes,
if you knew what
yes.
it was, where like you're cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's an invitation. Yeah. An invitation. See, I would never wear a shirt that has my interests in it in any social setting, because I just want to be avoided. I want to be ignored. I want to just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give like no indications. I would be the person who saw the Dracarys shirt, be like, "Oh, Dracarys."
Yeah,
but mm-hmm. I don't want to like. I can't attract any of these people to me.
That's smart.
A terrifying concept for my constitution. Well, if you felt like this podcast gave you Dracarys, we would love to know. You can send us a raven, GOT@postshowrecaps.com or dragon@postshowrecaps.com. You can tweet at us as well. I'm at Round Howard. Rob is at Rob Sesternino. Nicole, what's your Twitter handle these days? Is it Nicole Says What?
Nicole Says What? Yeah.
Yes.
Nicole's
it.
Not a big tweeter.
Who is?
I feel like no one really cares what I have to say. Like, do mm-hmm. I need to tweet it?
Mm-hmm.
You're a prolific Instagrammer.
Instagram is my thing.
Your Instagram game is strong.
I like to post
like the boys.
My strong boys.
Like the duckies, yes.
I like to post stories of the inappropriate drawings my kids make.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's good mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They're sick.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're
we
sick.
Love it. They're sick. I don't know why we're Coolidging. Anyway, gonna keep Coolidging. Rob, anything that's going on in the extended RHAP podcast universe that people need to know?
Josh and I got done talking about the mole this week with the Mole Patrol podcast. Maybe there's be some a little bit more mole coverage.
Ooh.
If you know, if it you know, if the gods will it.
So it shall be.
Mm-hmm.
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 That could be great.
Yeah.
It is known.
Some additional mole stuff. Heard you might have a fun Nothing But Netflix coming up in a couple of days.
Yes, yes. No, we're Coolidging as we are going to talk about The Watcher. And I think we could say officially that we will be blessed to have Josh Wigler and Emily Fox join Chappelle and I to talk about The Watcher this week. A very spooky Netflix show just in time for spooky season.
Oh, gosh. It's really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really creepy. I don't know.
It's going to be so fun.
I don't know. Oh, gosh. I have to reread the article it's based on. It was a really unnerving show. I was very anxious.
I forgot it's based on a true story.
Well, it is. But it's very clearly, you know, mm-hmm. Ryan Murphy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I got to throw in some. Yeah, I got to throw in some secret tunnels and like weird stuff and like the dumb waiter guy. Like, I don't think any of that's real, but I don't know. We'll talk about it. It's going to be really, really fun. I can't wait. Emily and I just like watched it on our own because we needed something to watch. We thought we would just put it on and be like turned off by it pretty quickly. And they're like, we got to watch this whole thing in 2 days.
Yeah.
So we went through it pretty quick. So we're excited to have an outlet to discuss The Watcher. So that'll be on the Nothing But Netflix podcast on RHAP. Keep it tuned in to Post Show Recaps. If that's not enough Jennifer Coolidge for you, Rob is going to be talking some Jennifer Coolidge with Amanda and Ariel when The White Lotus Season 2 premieres in place of House of the Dragon. Nicole, are you a White Lotus person?
I am. And now that Michael Imperioli is on it, I'm like so excited.
Nicole, where's the Sopranos podcast?
You know, Josh, I had a very bad dream about the Sopranos podcast.
Oh, boy. Dragon dream.
I'm actually mad at you.
Me? What did I do?
Yeah, because in my dream, we were doing the Sopranos podcast. And
was I your co-host?
You were my co-host. And you said, Nicole, you're really bad at this.
What a jerk.
You think,
what a jerk.
Well, let me just put this out there. Let's say I felt that way. You think I would have the courage to say that to you at any point in time?
Yeah.
Especially during a Sopranos podcast. Yeah. We're not feeling that energy.
Josh, did you leave that in the edit, or did you tell Nicole she was really bad and edit that part out of the podcast?
No way. None of that happened. God.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There's no way you'd be mad at Sopranos podcast.
I don't know if it aired, but I'm still really upset with you.
All right. Well,
my dreams are like real life for me.
I don't know what I could do to make up for it other than to say I think you'd be great.
Oh, okay.
Sopranos podcast.
That made up for it.
And at any time, the invitation is open. I would be honored to be on that show with you at any point in time. Emily and I are in the middle of a season two of The Sopranos for our second full time through the show. Very exciting times over here. This is really.
I've watched it 10 times each.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
10 times each.
I have a problem.
Yeah. What do we need to do to get Michael Imperioli on House of the Dragon season two? They were talking about Cregan Stark. Do you want to see Michael Imperioli as the Lord of Winterfell?
I don't think I can handle that. I really don't. Like, this is already what House of Dragon does to me. And then you put, you know, Michael Imperioli on that. It's too much. Too much. I won't sleep for a year.
Yeah, it'd be a lot.
Get a grip.
Get a grip.
Get a grip, you all. Okay, so White Lotus coverage coming. Rob's going to be on that one. Make sure you're subscribed to that podcast. All of the podcasts. The House of the Dragon Post Show Recaps podcast. You won't miss a thing, including any, you know, special mystery items that might be around the corner that you might be interested in. So make sure you're subscribed to House of the Dragon Post Show Recaps. That's going to do it for the podcast this time around. Who knows when we shall meet again. But Rob, if it's not anytime soon, what a delight to get you back into Westeros. I'm so glad
I had
you
so much
yes.
fun this season. Thank you for having me. And we should, I don't know, if people want, we should figure out a way to do some more stuff like this.
I have to tell you, I've had such a good time. It's been a while since you and I have podcasted on a regular basis. If we could figure out a way to do that on a more regular basis, that would be a dream come true.
You're not going
to
tell me I'm bad at it, are you?
Not to your face.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not fair enough. Face.
Yes. All right, folks. Good times. We'll talk to you all again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.